me Vaughn.
Vaughn?
I know he hadn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Good morning to the chat on YouTube. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show.
No. See, that's why I love it. We don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat.
The chat is like, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see, like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out, like, they're after something. Hey, everybody, happy Friday. Jeremy and Joe, we're checking in with the YouTube chat. We're on Twitch, right?
We are on Twitch.
Should we ever check in the Twitch chat? Let's go in there and someone's talking about, like, Stephon Beauregard.
Who?
I don't know. He was mentioned on Twitter as, like, a trade that made you upset.
I don't think I know who that is.
We're checking in on the chat.
For the Sabres?
Listen, here's one of the reasons to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, to watch us on YouTube if you want, to stream us on YouTube, to like and subscribe. Hit like and subscribe. And, you know, we've got stuff going on. We got the hat bracket and commercial breaks. We got that kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
I was made aware that Josh made a certain Travis Matthew Bills hat that people ask about all the time, a 7 seed.
Yeah.
Absurd. Anyway, jump in the chat if you want. Make comments. Make friends. Have a good time. Quickly check in on the chat, and then we're going to get back to some phone calls on the Micah Parsons trade. Got a question in the chat about guillotine leagues. Maybe you're hearing a lot about, you know, Yahoo Fantasy has added guillotine. Sleeper has a guillotine format. Guillotine is hitting the mainstream. Maybe you're a little nervous about guillotine. You need to have guillotine. I'm like a financial advisor here. You got to diversify your fantasy portfolio. If you're not getting any guillotine, you've got to make a way to get yourself some guillotine. The format is simple. Everybody drafts. Last place. Just don't finish in last. Head-to-head. There's no head-to-head, rather. It's all scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You have the fewest points. You're out of the league. See you later. You're not coming back. Goodbye. Thanks for coming. Going out week one in a guillotine league is pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that happened to me in your guillotine league 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's like you're not even in the league. Or if you,
no,
you feel
really
like you didn't even play that year.
Yeah.
And that was my only guillotine league that season. So really, it's like I didn't play guillotine
it's like
that year.
It's like tearing your ACL at camp. Like, oh,
yeah.
I thought I had a full year in front of me. No, actually, you don't. So someone in the chat asked for a quick strategy session on guillotine. What's the strategy in guillotine? I'll give you a couple things that I think about. One, if there's a tie between two players,
mm-hmm.
or you have four players that are same tier, take the one with the latest buy possible. Easy. Early buys mean early moves you have to make.
Right.
You have to bench somebody because they have a buy in week 6.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a move. If the same caliber players available in week 12, take that guy. Push your buys as far as possible.
Because you also have so many more available replacements later in the season.
That's right.
Like, if you have a week 4, what's their earliest buy? Week 4? Week 5?
I think so.
If you have a week 4 buy, only three teams have been cut.
Here we go. Week 5. Week 5. If you've drafted Drake London or...
Yeah, right.
Any Packers player. It's
or Bijan.
Falcons, Bears, Packers, Steelers. Bijan.
Yeah.
Week 5, your RB1 is on the bench.
And it's a waiver guy in a 15. Well, let's say you're in an 18-team guillotine. Like, it's a 15-team league waivers that you're going through.
Yeah.
Versus you got a week 12 bye. You got, like, 6 of you left, 5 of you left. Like, there's a lot of options.
So there's a great example. You have the number one pick, Bijan or Chase in guillotine. Chase's bye is week 10.
Chase.
You should probably go Chase.
I would go Chase.
Week 5 is an early time to already be thinking about getting a starting caliber running back to cover for your Bijan hole.
Right.
Also, if you're in a guillotine league that is a 20-person league or an 18-person league, if Bijan's your first pick, your second pick is the 40th.
Yeah, right. So your best player in week 5 is going to be
You just got to be careful about buys. My second piece of advice on guillotine strategy is I actually went through like a mock draft. Is stay away from rookies. I don't think you should get rookies early on. Let somebody else make rookie mistake. Like Tet McMillan might have a huge year, and I think I like that a lot. Yeah. I wouldn't want Tet McMillan as like my first round pick or even second round pick because if a rookie needs a month to get started, all it takes is a bad week and you're out of this league. I let other people take rookies early. I'm not leaning on rookies early. Later, maybe. Number 3. If a stud hits the market, I mean, you got a bid. You got a bid to survive. And later in the year, the number of times, Joe, I've made it to a guillotine final 3-4-2, the last 4 standing, with $0 in my fab budget for the second half of the season is I can count on two hands. I've been out of money effectively by week 9 in guillotine and regularly made it to the final 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Because by the time you're getting down to the final 6, 7 teams, oh, I didn't get anybody on waivers. The caliber of player that's being dropped is incredible.
Yep.
So you're playing, you're streaming, you're playing daily fantasy now at every position. So those are my three pieces of advice. Do not save money. Do not think you, oh, I've got $900 left. That's a problem. You are ripe to be beaten. Like by the time you get to week 12, you can't spend that money.
Right. The other thing I like in guillotine is there are players that I have no interest in a redraft league or a dynasty league that are kind of steady, but they're never going to win you a week. That in guillotine, way more. Shakir is a really good example of this. Like Khalil Shakir is a player that, like, in every other league I'm in, I'm not really into it because he's never going to win you a week, right? Like, there's not enough volume there.
He's never going to be wide receiver 1, 2, 3.
Right. In fact, last year he never was. But, like, for guillotine purposes, you just got to avoid the zero, right? Mm-hmm. You got to avoid the, oh, this guy had one catch for 3 yards today. And Shakir, 9 times from weeks 1 through 15, and he missed 2 games within that. 9 times he finished between wide receiver 10 and wide receiver 31. Like, every week he was getting you 11 points. And I don't like that in a normal league, but in a guillotine league, it's super valuable. So you compare that to like a Jameson Williams, who's more of like a boom or bust week to week guy. Like those guys, I think, take a little bit of a hit in those leagues.
803-0550. And the other thing to do is, I don't know how Yahoo is going to do this, or we have sleeper leagues too. I've got guillotine on Yahoo and sleeper both.
Yeah.
And it has been in the past where when the waiver budget runs at like 3 a.m. on Wednesdays or whatever it does, you go in and see, all right, I got my guy.
Yeah.
I bid $270 on Sam Laporta. What was the next closest bid? This is where you're going to drive yourself nuts in guillotine.
Yeah.
Oh, it was $103?
You think you just shouldn't look at it?
Yeah, sometimes I think you should. There's two different things that could happen. You got your guy, and you, well, three, I guess, suppose. You got your guy, got him by a little bit. Got your guy, spent way more than you needed to, or didn't, and find out how much you missed by. Oh, I didn't get Josh Allen? I bid 178, and he went for 179. Because it's blind bidding.
Right.
Like, I would have done more. The number of times I go into a guillotine league and I do my waiver bid, my silent auction bid, and the next 24 hours I'm like, $20 more. Nah, $10 less. No, $15 more. $50 more. No, you know what? I'm not going to bid on him at all. No, actually, I'm back in.
Yeah.
Like, that is the guillotine life. So if you've never done it before, you got to get into it. Is it the best format? I think it might be the best format. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of drama.
It's my favorite at this point. I say that before I get eliminated in week 2, and then I'll tell you differently probably.
803-0550. Mike in West Seneca. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Got a couple things. One on the Micah Parsons trade. I'm a big Cowboys fan, and I've been pushing for this for the last 2 years, to just clean house. We're not going to win with Dak Prescott at quarterback. We're not going to win with any of the players we have right now. I would even go as far as to trade CeeDee Lamb. Bulk up on draft picks. Go after Arch Manning in a couple of years. Go after Jeremiah Smith in a couple of years. I would just clean house. Not going to win with the team we have now.
Yeah.
Secondly, on fantasy football, I just completed on Sunday my 47th fantasy football draft.
Woo! Nice.
47th.
47th this year?
No.
Oh. Okay. 47th year.
I took that as okay.
Your league's been around for 47 years?
1979 I started.
Wow.
Wow, holy.
I obviously did it all by hand then, and I do it all by hand now. I haven't switched at all. The only thing I do on the computer is send out the standings.
Okay.
So we get together. I have 12 guys in that pool. We get together every year, and like I said, I do everything by hand. And what one neat thing about my pool, so what I really love, is you never have to worry about bye weeks. because I put in a rule where you can carry over points from the previous week. So say you have James Cook as your running back. I don't know what week the Bills buy in this year, but say the Bills buy in week five. When you put in your lineup for week four, you state that you want to carry over his points to week five. So it's feast or famine. If he goes nuts, it's great. If he gets a goose egg, then you get a goose egg. But at least you get to play all of your players every game, no matter what.
Yeah.
So one more point I wanted to make is I also run a 32-team league with a buddy of mine, Larry. And it is just the most insane league you can think about. You don't draft a quarterback. You pick a quarterback each week. You only can take the quarterback once during the year. So if you take Josh in week one, you don't get him the rest of the year. You only draft 10 players.
That's called like a graveyard league, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, I've heard some of a graveyard league where you can only use a player one time, and then they go to the graveyard.
Well, no, this is just a quarterback you can use one time. You draft all your other players. You're going to start six players during the year. Your starting lineup consists of six players, a quarterback, three flex, a kicker, and a defense. The thing about that pool is defenses go as early as the first round because you only get one defense because there's 32 teams.
Right.
You get one defense, so they go early. That league I started in 1984. So, and if you guys know of any leagues in the area that have been around as long as that or longer, I would like to hear about it.
Yeah,
I think I have one of the longest running pools, not only in the area but in the country. I've talked to a few people nationally, and they said that there was a league in Minneapolis that started in '77, and I think in San Francisco started in 1978. Yeah, if you guys hear of anything, I'd love to hear about it. You know, leagues around longer than that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. I started playing fantasy football in like 1995.
Okay.
Would have been my first run.
Written down?
Yeah.
Same thing?
Yeah, like draft, all that.
There's no online, though.
Yeah, 1995. Before, okay. Because I'm in high school when it happens.
The first ever fantasy football league was created in 1963, but it is not continuously running today. There is one league.
Quitters.
There's one league from Colorado that claims, called the CTP, that they have been together since 1975. That is believed to be the longest continuously running fantasy football league in the U.S.
Mike is 74. Right? Mike, you said 1974?
1979.
Oh, 79. Okay. Looks like this group might have beat you.
I can't believe there's more than a handful in the country that are longer than that, continuously running. So, okay. Sal has one from the 80s.
Nice.
Think that they still run from college. Mine's 2010. I'm not nearly as.
Was fantasy baseball the first fantasy sport?
I think so.
They called it rotisserie?
Yeah, I think so.
The genesis of fantasy sports? I don't know how long ago that goes.
1910.
Yeah.
Were they playing with Babe Ruth?
Listen,
was there a draft with Babe Ruth?
Thanks, Mike, for the phone call. I love hearing about, and we could have done this today. I love house leagues, like hearing about your own small little tweaks in rule formats.
That bye week rule is not something I've ever heard of before.
I like stuff like that.
Carrying over to the next week. I don't mind that much, especially with the rule you have to announce it before like that previous game. Like, right, the Bills bye is next week. I want Josh Allen for the next 2 weeks. Because you might regret that very quickly. So.
Thanks for the phone call.
On his Cowboys point, by the way, like they can't trade CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they could. Next year would be a $43 million cap hit. So I guess you could find a way to move around that if you're really trying to go to the bottom. I don't think that's what they're doing. They're going to blow it up. But Lamb is 26 years old.
He gave the old, we're not going to win with Dak Prescott. When Dak's career is over, how will he be remembered / viewed?
The same way Tony Romo is going to be remembered.
Which is,
he was really good and he never was really on a great team. Right? Or is that even Romo's reputation? That's how I see Romo.
Yeah.
I thought Romo was a very good quarterback that never played on a great team.
I mean, Dak's career high in touchdown passes is 37. He also had 36.
Okay.
Last year, he only played 8 games.
Like, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
I think he's been – he finished second in the MVP voting one time. He's never been an All-Pro. I think he's been good the whole time. But, yeah, I don't know that he'll be remembered any different than Romo. Which is, yeah, he was good. And I probably think they were both a little bit better than I bet what majority of people think.
Yeah.
I think there's a reputation that, oh, these guys are only famous because they're Dallas Cowboys. Like, if Dak Prescott or Tony Romo played for the Seahawks, then they wouldn't be as famous. That might be right. I think, though, they are better than the consensus. And that's with playing for Dallas.
Steve is up next. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. Nothing makes me feel better than Jerry Jones just keeps stubbing his toe. Micah Parsons is a good football player. You guys use the term, and others do, great. He's got a very good pressure rate. You went over those numbers. That's outstanding. But what wins on the defensive side of the ball is smashing a quarterback to the ground. And there's numerous other players getting less money. Now, this is career sacks, so they've played longer. Chris Jones, Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby. But I think Green Bay stuck their neck out for this dollar amount. The other thing is, I don't want to really call him a malcontent, but
he's not.
He doesn't have his attitude is okay.
His attitude's great.
He's an outstanding athlete, but he's not a great football player yet.
Oh man.
Maybe, I don't know. He's not. He's overpaid.
He's one of four players in NFL history that has a double digit sack season each of his first 4 years. It's like him, Dwight Freeney, and Reggie White.
Okay, don't even put him in that category yet.
His production has.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing.
He's like, one of, like,
he has it. But he has it. He's got a career to go, right? I mean,
you're judging him on what he is already. That's what you said.
That's all you can. He's a good football player.
Okay, and I'm telling you, he's like one of four guys that has ever started his career this way.
I guess, Steve, if we're going to use the way you're using it, that no one can be a great football player after 4 years.
Right.
That's 100%. We use the term great way too often in this world. He is a very good football player with an outstanding pressure rate. Smash the quarterback on the ground. Let me see it. Over your career, a Bruce Smith career.
Well, how many years before we can call him great? Do we call Josh Allen great, or is that not enough years?
You call 17 Superman. He is great. Yes,
But that's like one. That's like one more season of being an elite player.
Then let me see it. Let me see it in Green Bay. But I don't think the contract this minute now. Is worthy. I don't think the contract is, and I don't think we should be calling him great.
Okay, well, I'm going to call him great because he's an absolutely great player. And one thing I'll push back on just conceptually on this, like, get the quarterback to the ground. That's right, but getting pressure matters too. Sacks are a quarterback stat. Say it loud and proud and a lot. Sacks are a quarterback stat. If Micah Parsons rushed Josh Allen for 17 games... on the other side of the football, how many sacks would he end up in the season with? He might end up with like 9. If Micah Parsons rushed Joe Burrow for 17 games, how many sacks would he end up in the season? The number might be 19. Sacks come down to who you play against. Pressure rate is the thing. He is number one in pressure rate since 2021. He also does that on half the reason he doesn't have as many sacks is because he doesn't actually play as many snaps as Myles Garrett. His pressure rate, his beating double teams. He is second league-wide in pass rush win rate. Myles Garrett is second to Parsons. Garrett is probably better, but Parsons is right there. He is an elite player at one of the most important positions in the league.
There isn't even a sack argument here. Like,
no, there's
not. He has a couple fewer sacks than Myles Garrett. Okay, here's the list. Players in NFL history that have had 4 double-digit sack seasons to start their career. Micah Parsons, Dwight Freeney, Derek Thomas, and Reggie White. End of list.
He is going to the Hall of Fame. He is an all-time talent.
Right.
He's an all-time talent. There's no getting around it. And if you – I don't know malcontent. Based on what? Based on that he stuck up for himself and his value, he's right to do that. Yeah. Jerry Jones is the malcontent here. Jerry Jones is the bad guy. Micah Parsons wanted to stay in Dallas, but the guy that he works for is out of his depth. And, you know, in this country, we have this tendency to worship the billionaire over the actual talented person that is Parsons here. Like, Jerry Jones had a lot of success, but, like, he's out of his depth. He's out of his league. He's the fool. So, I don't know what makes Micah Parsons a malcontent. I think Micah Parsons is one of the NFL's absolute best ambassadors. Media savvy, podcast guy. Like, he is a modern day, 21st century face of franchise athlete. I don't think you could get a better player than this guy on and off the field. He's just, I don't know. I don't know everything about him off the field. I know
he's a podcast.
Right.
Is that why he's a malcontent? Because he's a podcast? I'm not saying that.
No, I don't know everything about him off the field. I shouldn't just say off the field he's a great person. I don't know him as a person, but as like a guy that represents your team, like he represents himself really well. I think the Packers have absolutely struck gold and it's totally worth it. You're paying the best player the most money at age 26. That's the other reason he's getting paid this. He's 26. That's incredible. You do not get this player at this age ever. And if you're the Packers, like, two first-round picks, all right. These teams cling to these first-round picks. Whatever.
Since they started tracking defense quarterback pressures, Micah Parsons the most in league history in the first four seasons.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't think that might maybe counts like Reggie White, but
that's great.
Since they've been tracking it, he's got the most to start a career that anyone's ever had.
I mean, thanks, Steve, for the phone call. You give us an interesting perspective. If I go on a two-week vacation and 4 days in, I am having a great time, can I say I'm having a great vacation? Or do I have to wait until it's over? Like, I've had a great day.
Yeah, I mean I don't doubt there are terms that get overused, by the way. Like, elite probably gets thrown around more than it should.
Generational probably gets thrown around more than it should.
Great is not the one that I think we need to be going to war against. Calling a player a great player, right? Again, like, if we have a problem calling Parsons after 4 years, Allen's had five amazing seasons, and no one in the world would ever say that about him. So I don't know why we're doing it with Parsons. And I know most people are not doing that with Parsons. Parsons is an amazing player. I think everybody knows it. I think most of today is going to be the Cowboys look like idiots.
Oh, that was yesterday for sure.
Yeah.
Getting dunked on nonstop. 803-0550. But thank you for the perspective. I appreciate it. Good stuff. 803-0550. Don't worry about money. Honestly, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about it. That's a lot. I mean, how many years in a row is it? Wow, that's just so much money for that. The league absolutely prints money. Every dollar paid to a player, an owner gets the same amount. I just wouldn't pay that much. What? Why? Draft picks are cheap. Oh, they don't have two firsts. Great. Now they'll just trade down in the second twice and add fourths and have the same number of picks and probably be fine.
Do you see Sam Monson's theory?
No.
His theory is that Jerry Jones just got through watching himself on the Netflix documentary, and he is trying to run it back with the Mahershala Walker trade. Only worse.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you know, that was good. I'm going to do that again.
803-0550. Back Tee Golf Classic. We're going to talk to David Dombrowski coming up in a few minutes. He's putting on this golf classic, the Back Tee Golf Classic, which is going to be at Gowanda Country Club on September 29th. You can join. We're going to be in this tournament. Very excited to be in this tournament. First annual, by the way. Benefits the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. That's cool. Love to be, you know, supporting a good cause. So you can come out to Gowanda if you want to sign up. Go to backteegolfclassic.com to get your spot and make a difference. September 29th, a 11 o'clock shotgun at Gowanda. If you've not played Gowanda, it's a great spot, especially in the fall. $10,000 cash prize for putting contests, raffles, silent auctions, car giveaway, and a par three. Who doesn't love stepping up to a par three and imagining themselves winning a car? I did that earlier this week. It was a Porsche. A Porsche. I thought, like, what if I was able to call my wife right now and say, I want a Porsche. Porsche. How great would that phone call be? You know?
It'd be like,
listen,
one of the best you've ever made.
I know you think I play a lot of golf. I want a car.
I want a car. That would buy you so many years of just, oh, you want to go golfing today? Sure, right, we'll cancel whatever we have.
Or it could go the other way. Like, you already won a car. What else could happen?
Go out on
top. The best thing that's ever happened to you has happened. Anyway, the Back Tee Golf Classic. BackTeeGolfClassic.com. Go on and join us. We'll be there on the 29th.